is and understand exactly what the Word of God says and who we are. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to feast your eyes on the board for me as we surf the book of Galatians in relation to this particular topic, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And I'm going to ask everyone that we read together. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Please be seated. Just shake somebody's hand beside you and tell them, take note. Whatever hangs on your life will be broken tonight. Praise God. One of the things I don't take lightly the fact that God has placed me where He has. Neither do I take lightly the fact that I understand who I am. If you would take time to look at the book of Exodus, and I'm going to be very, very explicit, so those who are taking notes will have what it is that we're saying and understand where we're going. Exodus 20 and verse 3 to 5, you will understand, therefore, that whether you like it or not, you come under a curse. And the Bible clearly tells us that the curse that is in that lineage goes to the third and fourth generation. Now, if there's a good mathematician here, you will understand that we are talking about 30 to 35 ancestors. And if these people would dare to commit, and we cannot get away from it, I'm going to show you tonight, would dare commit an act that would cause you to come under a curse, then it simply means that where you are now is a very, very interesting place. Do you know that it is a curse that would have caused a man or a woman of God to receive Christ, yet be hindered from speaking in tongues? It is a curse. And it now leans on the fact that God designs the gift of tongues, the speaking in tongues, to identify the infilling of the Spirit. Like any other position in the Word of God, there are exemptions. But on a mass scale, you have to understand that as long as the Spirit of God is in you, then one of the things that is expected at some point or the other is that a releasing of your tongue. Let me take my time here. What would have caused that then is one of the things that we're going to be looking on tonight. I want to equate that to something that we all understand. Curse comes in different ways, in different forms, and one of the most common known is a generational curse. And if you go through Exodus 20 and you look through 3 to 5 particularly, it clearly opens the fact that one who would serve another god in his entirety has given themselves over to a curse. Now take your time here. It would be easy for anybody to say, but God is not fair because a third and a fourth generation didn't really commit the act. Why would they bear the brunt of the punishment? Am I right? You didn't do it. Why do you come under the curse? Well, understand this. It's much like cancer or any other generic sickness, there is the susceptibility or the vulnerability for you to come down with the same sickness. take your time here. Mommy and daddy has a particular unique kind of cancer. And so way down in the line, you are told you've got to get yourself tested because this runs in the gene. Are you with me? It doesn't mean that you have to have it. What it means that you are more prone to having that kind of sickness or cancer more than anybody else. So this is what curse does. It weakens the possibility of the child of God standing in his right position. That's what it does. It weakens the possibility of the child of God standing in his rightful position. Now, there's a difference between weakness and wickedness. I'm taking my time. Some of us sin because we fall prey to our weaknesses. And you understand that if yesterday you fall prey to your weakness, then it is expected that tomorrow you build up an amount of resistance towards that weakness. But there are those, again, who sin because they are wicked. So they take no thought of the repercussion of their action. I'd like you to turn to somebody beside you and tell them, for every action, there is a reaction. Come on. And so then, the person whose nature has not taken on the change that Christ gives sins because he's wicked. We're going to go down the line. And so you see this on a bigger scale. And we get to the place then where we realize that sin carries its own penalty. The Bible tells you that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Sin carries its own penalty. Turn to somebody and tell them beside you, don't take it for a joke. Sin carries its own penalty. But I want you to understand something tonight. If you look at Exodus 23 to 5, you would have realized that built in the sin of a wicked man is the curse or the spirit that opens the curse. Built in the sin of a wicked man is the spirit that opens the curse. In other words, sin is sin no matter where you commit it or how you commit it. But understand this. The man who sins because he presumptuously sin is open to a curse that begins an ancestral root. All the scriptures are there for you. I want you to turn with me to the book of James 1. And this is where I was moved earlier on. I finished my studies and when this hit me, it's very interesting. When lust is conceived, now we're talking about curse and generational curse, and we're looking at the book of Exodus 23 to 5, and we begin to understand why the word of God would open a generational bearing of curse. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth death. The possibility is quite likely for a man who drinks, or a woman who drinks, or a family who drinks crazily and becomes drunkard, taken on the spirit of drunkardness. It is more likely for their child to become drunkard at one drink than another child who hasn't had that kind of spirit rooting in the bloodline. Are you with me? Am I moving too fast? I want you to get it because tonight I want to release. You can be saved. You can be a Christian walking in a certain path, walking on a good line, but you're hindered from the benefits of what the Holy Ghost is supposed to be doing for you because there are curses or curse that hasn't been broken. I use, for example, Sister Williams. Stand for me, Sister Williams. And I couldn't understand when this lady came aboard. A woman who undoubtedly loved God, the word so passionate in her spirit that just a mention of a deep-rooted word would get her and bring her to tears. But when the Holy Ghost began to move in her, she would just groan and run and can't do anything about it. Now let me just warn you for a second. The devil is so ugly that he knows when your release is coming. And I watched this thing, and that is why a pastor has got to be very careful how he executes his duties. I watched this thing for over time. And one day was the man who said, no way, God, something is wrong here. And they realized that there is a spirit, and now I can tell you a curse that would have caused her to have gone so far and then be blocked. And she would suffer that agony of wanting to give birth. Because when you speak in tongues, you give birth to a new dimension of your salvation. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh where? So if you cannot express yourself in that on that level, then it means that God is moving you to utterance, but you can't speak back. Are you here with me? And so what the Holy Ghost did was open my eyes to what was going on. Now this is what Paul did. And I simply lay hands, and that curse I declared in the name of Jesus be released. And the curse went. And today, no more of that. You may sit, sis. So I start for you tonight at this place. And I want you to understand this. Curse is an invisible barrier. An invisible barrier that stand between your blessings and your gifts. It's an invisible barrier. You can't see it until it manifests on a certain level. This is where you understand the necessity of breaking curses. Doesn't mean that a man or a woman who are under a certain curse will not be saved. Doesn't mean that you can't get into heaven. What it means is that you are more vulnerable to fall prey to your past situation or situations, hence hindering your progression in salvation, and believe it or not, has the potential to leave you in hell. So then breaking curse becomes very, very necessary. What are these blessings that we are supposedly talking about tonight? Blessings begins with good health to produce or reproduce. Being able to see one's success, having total victory over existing barriers, where God himself exalts you to be the head and not the tail, and to have a satisfactory life. That's where it ends. So it begins with having a good health. Now, the barrier for a good towards a good health will stop you from everything else. If you don't have good health and you're making the best of money, you're going to be frustrated. If you have the best of health and you can't make no money, you're going to be frustrated. No? If you have all the money in the world and have the best health, but you're never victorious, you're going to be frustrated. Can we take our time? If you have the best job, the best health, be victorious over everything, but you're not multiplying, you do not add to anybody's life, you do not add to any system, you do not add to anything, and you cannot reproduce, you're going to be frustrated. This is what curse does. It walks in your life and identifies your areas of success and hold it a prisoner. Now, I can tell you this. There was a time in my life when I just got saved, that I noticed something. No matter how hard I tried at anything, it would start, but it would never go to the very end. Somewhere in the middle, it crumbles. Am I the only one? Is there anybody else here? Don't be ashamed to put up your hand. This is why you're here. You want to break this thing, don't you? Push your hand way up. Starts, but it never. And I went to my mom, and I sat her down at my dad, and I said, come on, I need you to talk to me about something. Have you guys ever done anything that would have left a curse on any one of your children? Just let me tell you something for a second here. It doesn't mean they had 10 kids. It doesn't mean all the kids come down with it. But I noticed that, and I was keen enough to realize what was going on, and I spoke to her. And my mom said to me, no. She quickly answered, and my dad, he was more of a Bible man. And he took time and thought thoroughly over what I've just asked. And he held his head down and looked at me and he said, why did you ask? I said, because my life is showing me something other than what a child of God is supposed to be. Now, mark you, I wasn't a believer in Christ, and I will politely and proudly say that. I was not a believer in Jesus Christ. For me, it was a myth. It was a story. Don't tell me about you having your one child and you're sending him to die for somebody who you don't know. Hypocrites and liars. That's not the truth. I didn't believe it. But I came in contact with Jesus Christ. And I proved for myself that you don't have to have a child to die for a child. I proved that love was not what a lot of you think it is. Much more than that. Much, much more than that. I've been blessed to have two sets of children, biological and non-biological. And I can tell you, on any scale, there are non-biological children that take the lead far ahead of the biological ones. Not a joke. Having experienced this, I realized the scripture was right. And I realized now that there are some things that I began to see in my personal life that opened my eyes to the reality that it could not have been a big bang. It could not have been a genetic deterioration or increase of whatever kind, but it had to be the move of God. And as I experience these things, I begin to see in a different realm. As I saw in a different realm, I was open to revelatory experiences that I could not have had on my own intellect. And so I realized then that God is real. Having realized that made me understand that whatever God designs for my life should never be hindered unless I'm under a curse. So when I asked my dad this, I told him what this was, what was going on with me. He said to me, there's something I need to talk to you about. And then he told me of an experience that he had. I said, but that would not be the logic of what I'm experiencing. Then when I go deeper, I realize that, yes, it could have been. And so I prayed, and we prayed, and there was a particular night when the boys used to have one big, big, big room. I wish my brother was here. And the girls have another big room. And in that night, everybody locked down in prayer. And when I got up out of prayer, I went by myself, and I said, God, if this was it, then show me. And he opened a window, and it was as though I could see everything through the roof. And I realized that, whoa, this is it. Ladies and gentlemen, from that very day until today, everything I touch brings productivity. So all what I've earlier said of curse could be summed up in one scripture found in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28:13. Now, I know this is usually the take on cursings and blessings, but I dare you tonight to see it from a different aspect. And the Lord shall make thee, what? The head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. Two things we're going to make sure we ride on tonight. To observe and to do. Having read that, it is very interesting to have a vivid picture of exactly what God allowed for us through Jesus Christ. What does he mean when he says, if you've observed to do what I commanded you to observe and to do, you shall be the head? See, the head gathers valuable information, then makes tangible decision from this information gathered to secure victory in every aspect of your lives. The head gathers information, uses these informations to make tangible decisions so that you will ever be victorious. The head seeks divine wisdom and lays down godly principles that will nurture production, giving you a life of significance. So what God is saying, when you have observed to do what I've given you to observe and to do, you will be able to draw from me so that the enemy cannot rupture your life. Are we sure that we're talking about shutting out Satan? Yes, that's what we're saying. God designs you to be the head. First in the book of Genesis, when he came down in the cool of the day, he came down to the head, not the tail. So if you're supposed to be the head, what it simply means is that those who are the tail or choose to be the tail will always follow in insignificance. So where you make a decision, they follow you. Circumstances and situations prevailing, it doesn't matter. They just follow you. Go right, they right. Go left. But you determines where they go. Oh God, I wish I had somebody with me tonight. The dangers of cursings then is to move you from the head and make you become the tail. That is coupled with your own decisions. You have your own part to play. But I'm giving you tools tonight for deliverance. Curses destabilizes and destroy the normal functions in your life, leaving the abnormal chronic illnesses such as too frequent emotion breakdown, suicide, untimely death, family alienation, breakup of marriages, sicknesses that has no known relations, abnormal blood loss, and the most frequent financial breakdown or instability. Have you ever seen somebody who just continued to be depressed? In good time, you're depressed. In bad time, you're depressed. So you've never really experienced life. Have you ever seen someone who, no matter how much money comes to their hand, it is of no value? Send your child to the best of school, and he or she comes out a drug addict. Am I talking to you? You've got to look beyond what meets the eye. There are demons that they are fighting, that you're fighting, and until you begin to look in the right place, you'll be dealing with the wrong things. Because there are people who will come to the altar morning, noon, and night and go back home the same way. Why? The curse is not broken. So generational curse is not a predestination for sin, but a weakness to sin. In other words, not because something comes from your lineage, it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. It doesn't mean you have to do it. Why? Because Jesus became curse so that you will be free. It hurts me when the church begins to preach a prosperity message when the prosperity cannot be sustained. I wish God Almighty. Can we just go home? Too hot? I could never pass something like this. It hurts me when the church continues to preach a prosperity message that cannot be sustained. You will get it, but you lose it faster than you get it. Why? Because there are more holes going out than the one coming in. And then it gets to the place where you have to know the kind of people you share your space with. What your ancestors have left for you to endure and experience can be mobilized by those whom you share your space with. There are people whom you share your space with, and once they get in your space, they're able to uniquely identify that there is something wrong, and they're strong enough to help you to correct it. Oh God. Then there are those who come in your space and they magnify what is wrong. You got to be very careful now. I was just going in depth for tomorrow. I began studying a while ago for tomorrow, and I realized the theme scripture that God gives me is one of the most powerful ones. And I watched it, and as I watched it, I had to hold my head, because immediately I realized that when one is free from curse, and you can, when curses are broken from your life and you're free from curse, Satan cannot override your territory as he wills. The minute he's going to come to your house, it is known to you. Oh God, I think you were all here on Sunday. Huh? If this demon had any kind of drive and control, what he would, any sense at all, what it would have done is simply gone to my house and set up a desecration. But what had to happen? He had to reveal his next move. God has placed a barrier around me. And so nothing crosses that barrier without God allowing me to know. That's why a lot of people get tricked, because they think they can fool the Holy Spirit. No, let me help you for a second. If you notice what happened in the book of Genesis when God spoke to Abraham, he said to Abraham, whomever curses you, I will curse. And whomever blesses you, I will bless. Don't think it's because God just looked down on Abraham. No. God has selected Abraham for a purpose. When God selects you for a purpose, the devil also selects you to destabilize you. But here is the good news. When God selects you, he has already known that your abilities are totally in sync with his desire for your life. And he's already known that you will bring fruit to the kingdom of God. So he is commanded and commissioned to protect you. So when a man comes in your space before he touches you, he touches that which is around you. Oh, God Almighty. And so as he touches that which is around you, he begins to disintegrate. No, you think God is a fool. He begins to go down before he gets anywhere close to you. He might not see now, he might not see tomorrow, but rest assured, it's already in place. Thus the word of God, touch not my anointed, nor don't you think you're going to lay on that man. No, you touch the Holy Ghost long before you touch him. That's why a lot of people are suffering today. Because they will not remember what they do to somebody who is carrying the anointing and to go pray and repent and break the curse they have put in place so they can receive life. Don't do it. A curse in an ancestral bloodline weakens the possibility for you to stand against the wiles of the enemy. No wonder why the Bible says now you got to put on a new cloth, a new garment, a new breastplate, a new helmet. You got to put it all on. Why? Because the old one is contaminated. I wish you would touch somebody beside you and tell them, when you put on that cloth, come on, when you put on that cloth, you are victorious. Now here's the funny thing about all of this. Breaking curse is not scientific. It's easy. Very easy. As a matter of fact, it's not about the man carrying the anointing. It's about the man receiving the breakthrough. Jesus Christ is the epitome of any kind of anointing you could ever see, read about, or observe, and or understood. But yet, he said his ministry was hindered because of the unbelievers. Unbelieving is a spirit that deters and hinders your blessings. That's why I don't want it in me. But when you come to a seminar, a ministry, a meeting like this, you get the knowledge to first break. Don't think what you're getting now is the knowledge to for curse to be broken. That's a lie. What you're getting now is the knowledge to put unbelief to death. Once you've put unbelief to death, because there are people here right now who believe that, you know what, man, I cannot be helped. I've suffered so long, I don't know how I'm going to get through. I've been bleeding for so long, I don't know how, it can't stop. I've done everything, I've been to every doctor, so was the woman that issued blood. But she came to a particular time in her life when she ran dry. Sometimes God allows you to go through to things that will run you dry, and then there's no other alternative than to see things for what it really is. I will tell you from scriptures that not everything that you see negative should be taken negatively. There are things happening to you that looks very negative, but the real meat of it is that God allows it to bring you to your knees so he can bless you. Which means then that your biggest problem is not the enemy. Your biggest problem is yourself. What do you do when you come in a meeting such as this? Where do you place your mind? What do you leave with? What do you do with the immediate knowledge that you're getting? Because the best time to use it is when you get it. So, Deuteronomy 28:13 is opening me to something that I've never thought of. That I'm not the tail. And no place in my life I should be satisfied being the tail. Unless there's a break in the line. God did not design you to be the tail. He designs you to discern what is wrong, to make it with the potential to make it right, so that the tail becomes the... But if you can't discern, you will die. Demons could be sitting right beside you playing in your food. I got a very weird call today. A very strange call. And the young man said, I'm not calling you on what we spoke about weeks ago. I'm calling you now because I'm dire in need. What is the call? My friend is dying. What happened to your friend? Went to Jamaica and came back last week. And the moment he stepped off the plane, he began swelling in his feet and his hands. They brought him to the doctor. Doctor says, doesn't know what is wrong. Nothing at all. All tests shows up, everything's good. Send him back home. Now, after 2 days, he's back in the hospital. Right now, cannot move. He's swollen so big that his features change from head to toe. And they spoke to the family from it began, and the family said, we don't know. I don't think anything's wrong. It's not about what you think. If you were thinking any at all, you would have known that the enemy is always against you. Now I'm calling. So I said, bring him to here tonight or tomorrow night. He ran to the hospital. When he ran to the hospital, he couldn't even identify his friend. He said, there's no way I can get him out to you. Can you come? I sat quietly in my vehicle, and this was about 11:15 outside, quietly. And I said, God, do I spin around this vehicle and go? What do I do? And clearly, like you're talking to me, the voice of God said to me, stay where you are. He whose hands committed works of iniquity, his body shall bear works of iniquity. I'm speaking to those of you who are giants and think that everything you run and touch. When it comes through the door and come in this house, the Holy Ghost inside here cripples, cramps, and paralyzes every existing spirit and brings it under control for deliverance. This is the house of God. But don't get up and run because you think you're mighty. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Further explains the tool we are going for. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I specifically colored three words, overtake thee. Let me tell you why. A man or a woman who is walking curse-free, his blessings is in surplus. You could take some money, it doesn't bother him. Notice Abraham going with his family and a little raw begun. He said, look, take, go. Go. It can't stop me because I've already exceeded the place of a cursed man. Anything my eyes can see belongs to me. So if I give you over there and I can look anywhere else, I'm unstoppable. Notice what happened. I give you over there. I can go around and start again from behind you. You are restricted to what I release. Is there anybody in here tonight who want to be curse free? Because like it or not, it's in your generation. I said, you are restricted to what a man of God, a woman of God, and I'm not talking about a man in pulpit, I'm talking about every one of you. Release. And this is what the church should be teaching you. Every day they come and they tell you, jump up and shout and say, God, three times and carry your money and give me. Write the check and give me and tomorrow you go home and get it. Lie. And I don't take it back. A lie. And so as the pendulum swings from the truth of aspects of curse to the root of curse, we can understand why God does the things he does. Genesis 20 now. Get it on the board for me. Very interesting. 3 to 5. And I didn't start at 1 because it's very interesting on these two pillars that everything else stands. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And I went a little deeper to stir up the Hebrew context of this passage. And what it really says is that thou shalt have nothing that takes your mind from service, not just before me, before you, but beside you. In other words, anything that causes you to question the service of God is your God. I can't go to church tonight because I have to make sure the kids are okay. If you die before you make the kids okay, will they be okay? I can't make it to Bible study because my car didn't go to the mechanic. Look at the list of what you did throughout the day. There are so many things that could have put outside of place and you could have brought it to the mechanic. But no, those things are your God. I don't get a new pair of clothes so I can't go to church. Listen, you're playing joke. We're playing joke as Christians. We're playing joke. I don't know if anybody saw me earlier on. I had my ties on, I had my pins on, I had my suit on. And I went into the bathroom just to brush my teeth and wash my face. And the Holy Ghost said, take off that. Why? Why? Are you truly comfortable to do my work? And I look myself in the mirror, no, I'm not. Here's this. There is a path that God takes you as spirit-filled people. And when he takes you in that path, your level of obedience commands your level of existence. So you're going to the bathroom. Let me give you examples. And there's a bit of paper on the floor, and God said, pick it up. And you simply push it back with your foot, and you're gone. Happened to me and a sister before a year. Read already. I watched her push it with her foot, and I bend down and pick it up. Now, hold on. How could God give you bigger things to do when the small things that he asks you to do, you can't do it? I look at the small things because it tells me that you're ready to listen. Small things. Small things. Small things. Very things that you would think insignificant. Well, that's how we're designed. We're designed by God for his purpose, no? So who determines what he uses to bring out his purpose? First, he's got to get you to obedient. He's got to get you to be obedient because the devil works on the children of disobedience. It's disobedience that breaks your level of discerning. And don't tell me he wakes you up in the morning and tells you, run out on the street and tell this man, get up now and pray. Run to the house of God. There's disaster coming and you're ready to do it when you can't hear him on the small issues. You're a liar. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have life and you won't buy a car and you won't buy a house and you won't have children. That's not what it means. But it means you're going to suffer consequences later on. I'd rather to do it right now than to have to deal with the disasters later on. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Very interesting presentation. It was in the book of Zechariah, I think Zechariah 5, I think I did 5, 1 to 4. There was a scroll, a flying roll. And Zechariah said, I saw it. Yes, we have it on the board. And everybody that stole that roll would go into their house. And he saw the curse working. Now let me help you. God is able to show you not just your enemy, but how to defeat your enemy. Question is, can you see it? And if you can't see it, what hinders you? Because I can tell you, you're not hindered because you're not gifted. Every single one of you inside here has a gift. There is not one person inside here who bears the Holy Spirit that is not able to discern. The first thing you've got to do is to be able to discern what spirit is working around you. But what do you do? Here's what do you do. Here's what you do. You seek the things that are more appetizing to the flesh than the things of God. And then he says, the things to the man in the spirit, those things in the flesh is foolishness, don't it? Well, what he's saying to you then is that you have a choice what you want to do. You have a choice to whom you're willing to will yourself. You have a choice as to whom controls you. And so the first tool for deliverance is to break the curse that is in your lineage. When that curse is broken, then those that are coming that you are taking on will have a hard time to set. Is there one person here tonight whose mind is already at that place to say, you know what, man, I'm tired. And I want this thing done now. I'm tired. I'm just tired. I want it done now. Hold on. Because I want you to understand something. God sees tomorrow. And he sees whether or not the same thing you're trying to put to rest now is what you're picking up tomorrow. You're not playing me. And you can't play God. So who is it that you're playing? Before I go back to that, Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heat in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit, oh God, the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Just imagine water flowing all around you and you're dying for thirst. Here's what happened here. This man knew how powerful the authority that lies in God, but seek it from man. There are people in the church of the living God who would take up their phone and call a psychic to find out what happened tomorrow. As a matter of fact, in this church, I had it to deal with one time. And when the young lady called me, she said, I said, what's your problem? And she started, I said, listen, don't play games. You call a psychic. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was a sin. What do you mean? That's seeking of another spirit. Now, can you imagine somebody who is in that position feeding you? I wanted to pull a joke in this one, but I'm being pulled up. I can't. This is why it is ultimately important for you to understand not who anybody else is, but who you are. So I don't play. I love me. I find that there is an amazing sweetness that comes from the revelatory experiences that comes from the Word of God. It brings me to that place where I saw an old man in the U.S. And he, every time I go where his house is, I slept there. I tell you, he and the wife, they're pensioners. They'll wake up in the morning and they begin to study the Bible and they break at 12 for lunch and go back again in the night. And it was something I just couldn't understand. But every time I lay my head in that house, my whole life was before me. Every single time I visit, I yearn just to go there. And then I realized that, hold on, what they have and the environment they create, you can do it too. We become so overwhelmed with our emotions. And we're taken away from the business of God because we're emotionally driven. And what you don't understand, that emotion is a wreck when it has no place of satisfaction. I wish you would touch somebody beside you and tell them you will never be emotionally satisfied. Never! The thing you want today, tomorrow, it's behind you, and you're pushing for something else, somebody else, something else, somewhere else. Never emotional satisfaction comes through Christ. Gifted people can't feed themselves. Why? Emotionally driven. Today you turn right, tomorrow you turn left. The next day you go on the back, next day you go in front. Have no place of steadiness. God can't use you if you cannot trust yourself. I couldn't trust you. Then if I could trust you, how much more God? You have to get to that place where your desire becomes your drive. And your drive becomes a business of God. Hello, just let me tell you something. Whatever you need to live a victorious, satisfied, healthy, productive life is in Christ. And the keys to get it is already given to you. But you must be at a spiritual place to use it. Blessings are everywhere around you, but not everybody can receive it. Why? Why? When a man turns to God wholeheartedly, he removes every target of the enemy, that is to include family. And leaves you in a place of blessing. God don't need company. He needs commitment. A I said, God don't need company. He needs commitment. Abraham was committed to God. It was accounted for faith, and his blessing was sure. Nothing dry dies in commitment. Did you hear me? I said, nothing dry dies in commitment. Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again? Not just that they were dry, but they were fragmented. The head part was at the feet, and the feet, the hand was at the side. My hand was at somebody else's hand over there. But when the word of prophecy was declared over them, they begin to move from wherever they are. Just touch somebody beside you and tell them, your blessing will move into your territory. I say, your blessing will move into your territory. Your blessing can never be so far from you that holiness don't bring it to you. When curse is removed from you, the natural things take a back seat and spiritual things come aboard. It is natural for these boys to burn in the fire. Lord, have mercy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is natural for the flame to kindle on them and burn them. I could imagine their clothes would be ripped in seconds, and their flesh would be so shrunk and stunk, and their bones would be dry. The marrow would be gone. But there came a fourth man standing in the fire. Your belief. Holy Ghost, thank you. What God is saying, your belief is too shaky. Today you think I'm capable. Tomorrow you think I'm not. The next day you think you have to run. The next day you think it's... Where is your belief? God is able to do all things. He made sure that this fourth man came to the place where those who knew what should have happened naturally would have witnessed. Why? Every discouragement, every disappointment that comes on a man or a woman who is walking curse-free is for the building of their life. So the king looked. Servant looks and says, oh, king, we put three men in the fire, but we see a fourth one. There are two things to take into consideration. The fourth one was spiritual. You who put them in there, you were wicked. It's not for you to see them because you were on the wrong side. But God allows you to see them because he wants you to know it's not the fire that you trust in that is real. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. I could imagine what they did not see is how the fourth man just took his hand around these boys. Touch somebody and tell them, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above my asking, above my knowledge, above my wisdom. He is my God. Oh, give the Lord a mighty hand. So the Bible said that Jesus became a substitute. Oh, yes, sir. Lord have mercy. Back in the book of Hebrew, the context is that any man who hang on a tree was cursed. Now, in my limited knowledge, I begin to think that hanging Christ because of tradition was enough to define him such a curse that any seed of belief that he was the Son of God would have been erased. Because by custom, curse was any man who hung on a tree. Hold on, take your time. But what you don't know is that for an antidote to become effective, it has to be designed from its source problem. Ah, Lord have mercy. Jesus could not have gone without becoming a curse to liberate the curse. God Almighty, I wish you would touch somebody beside you and tell them, I was such a curse that he took the divine to become a curse to release me. He couldn't release me had they stoned him to death. He had stones to him. He could not release me had the sword that punched his side took him out. He could not release me if the thorns on the head was so severe that he bled and died. He could not have released me like that. And yes, the sword could have taken him out. And yes, those stones could have killed him. The weight of the cross was enough to take him down. It had to be borne by somebody else. But when you look at my situation, when you look at my problems, my shame and disgrace, when you look at the degraded state where I was in, it desire a curse. Basatori Baba. Hey, oh, yes, Holy Ghost. I think this is the right time. Hey, if you're in here right now, and that thing that is hindering you, you want it released right now. You want to be able to feel the fire. You want to be able to praise him the way you should. Lift your hands and place it on your head. And say, according to the word tonight, curse be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. I'm free to receive of the Holy Ghost. Because the Hebrew boys, they were curse free. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible said he stretched out and they draw the nail to his hands and draw the nail to his feet. He had no sin, but he bore my sin. He had no shame, but he became the shame. He had no darkness, but he became darkness. He became less of himself because he was now become a curse. Curse is every man that hung on a tree. Touch somebody beside you and touch yourself and tell yourself, I am free. Lord, have mercy. We should give God some praise in this place. I should have died. I would have died. Everything in my bone was shut down. He crumbled at the pressure of the cross. He crumbled at the weight of the cross. But he lifted up his eyes. I wish you would lift up your spiritual eyes and see angels stretching out their hands and getting ready to touch you. The barrier is gone. The barrier is broken. The barrier has left you. You got the knowledge. Give him some praise. The barrier is gone. Holy Ghost on fire. Set the fire. Set the fire. Release somebody's spirit.